Good morning. Our reading for today is from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord," the king said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent his horses and chariots, a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me. I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After he entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Now let's pray. Our Father God, we pray now as we come to this, your word. May you open our eyes to see what you're saying to us, and may you open our ears and our hearts to understand it. Speak to us now, we pray in your name, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I want to start this morning with a story before we come to our passage. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's very applicable for what we're coming to in just a few minutes. So I want you to pay close attention and be thinking, how will this link in? So the story is, there's a boy and his father. And the boy, he's in his early teens. And the father comes to him one day and he says, "Son, it's time for you to become a man." And to do this, they have this tradition in the family, this ritual. And the father has to blindfold the son and lead him out into the woods, into the wilderness for an entire night. So a few days later comes the father, he blindfolds his son and he leads him out into the woods. The son has no idea where they are. He's been blindfolded. He doesn't have a clue where they are. Father takes off the blindfold, goes away. He leaves the son there for the whole night. Now, as the night goes on, well, it gets dark and the son starts to get pretty afraid. Can hear all these noises going on around him, all these weird sounds, and he's wondering, what sort of animals are in this forest? Are there bears? Are there tigers? Is there something going to come and eat me in the night? He's terrified. Can't sleep a wink the entire night. Why would you? You'd be so scared. But eventually the night ends. And as the sun rises and the boy starts looking around, he looks off in the distance. Not very far, about 50 yards away, he sees his father. He sees his father who has been sitting there the entire night watching him. You see, the son, he was absolutely terrified that entire night because he didn't know what was in the forest. He didn't know if there was going to be a bear or something would come and attack him. But if he had have known that actually the entire night his father was right there, was watching him, was making sure that nothing would come and attack him, then actually surviving that night would have been a lot easier. Okay, so I want you to think about that today as we come to our passage. So as you see, we're still in the Old Testament, just like we were a few weeks ago in Exodus. As we were seeing in Exodus, we had God's people, the children of Israel, were leaving Egypt and they were going to this place called the Promised Land. Okay, now where we are today in 2 Kings, this is a few hundred years later and the people are in the Promised Land now. But there's a problem. You see, at the start, they were faithful. They came into the land, they were trusting God, and so God drove out their enemies. But now, they've been unfaithful. As they've lived in the land, as they've looked around them, looked at all these other nations around them, who are worshipping idols, bowing down to the statues of stone and of gold, Israel has become just like them. They start worshipping idols and acting wickedly. And so God has given them these people called the prophets, like we see with Elisha here today. And the prophet's job, they were to go to the people and they were to speak to them and say, come back to God, repent, come back and worship the one true God. But Israel always thought they knew better. They wouldn't listen, and so God had to discipline them. And so we see God disciplining them by letting the nations around them, their enemies, come and war with them and attack them, like we see with the king of Aram here today. And so as that would happen, the people would feel helpless and needy, and that they would come back to God. So as we're studying this today, this is a reminder to us that we are helpless and that we need God. You might be listening here today and you may already feel helpless. Let this be a reminder not only then that you're helpless, but that God gives help. We see today we don't need to be afraid. We can trust God because just like the father in the woods, he is there. Okay, so as we're going through this, we're going to be thinking a lot about what God does with our eyes. So kids, I'm going to have three things today about what God does with our eyes. I want you to be listening really carefully for them. So at the end, later on, at lunch or whatever, you can tell your parents or whoever you're watching with what those three things are. So the first one is God opens our eyes to his protection. Okay, let's dive in. If you've got a Bible, keep it open. I completely forgot to have a PowerPoint today. So if you've got a Bible, keep it open. That's going to be helpful. And what do we see here as we look at it? We see this guy, the king of Aram. He's at war with Israel and he keeps on coming. He has these plans to attack, to ambush the king of Israel. But every time he comes, Israel seems to know exactly where he's going to be. And so they don't go there. They don't walk into a trap. And so the king, he's furious. He starts going around, he's asking his generals, his servants, his war council, well, wait, there must be a traitor here. Who is for the king of Israel? That's what he says in verse 11. But there isn't a traitor. Actually, the servants tell him, no, there's no traitor. Elisha is the problem. Elisha knows exactly what's going on. Okay, so new plan. Elisha's the problem. We're going to go get Elisha. So they send a massive army, horses, chariots, thousands of men off to go get Elisha. Okay, and we see in verse 15, they've come to the city where he is. Okay, now look down with me at verse 15 there. Put yourself in the shoes of this servant who gets up in the morning. Imagine you're getting up, you're in your usual morning routine. You know, you wake up, you grab your cup of coffee, go for a stroll around the city grounds, and then you look out, what do you see? A massive army of fierce, bloodthirsty warriors. How are you going to feel? Terrified, helpless, defenseless. He asks Elisha, what are we going to do? Okay, now come out of the servant's shoes and put yourself in your own shoes again. Where are the massive armies in your life that are taking you away from God? Maybe you're finding lockdown really tough right now. It's so hard to tune into online church. It feels like a burden to have to do it, and you're finding that hard. Maybe for you right now, sin is crouching at your door. Temptation is there, and you're wondering, how on earth can I resist this temptation to sin? And because I've done that, you maybe feel so guilty. How can you go to God? Or maybe we've been talking a lot about our Christmas evangelism, and perhaps that scares you. You've got friends or neighbours are maybe asking you questions about God, and you don't know how to answer. Maybe all of those things are happening right now, and you just feel so overwhelmed. Well, what we're going to see here is God doesn't leave us on our own. None of us are alone right now in lockdown. When we're fighting temptation, God is still with us. And when we go out to evangelize our neighbors, our friends, to talk to whoever it is, God is with us to strengthen us and to encourage us. Okay, so look down with me again at what Elisha does. Remember, he knew all the things that the Syrians were doing. God was telling him that. He knew where the king of Aram was sending his men. And so it makes sense. Elisha actually probably knew that morning when he was waking up that there was a massive army out there with one purpose, was to capture him. But he didn't hide. He didn't flee and run away. He actually seems pretty calm. Look what he says in verse 16. Servant has asked him, what are we going to do? He says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant must have thought he'd gone mad. Elisha, we're a small city here. There's thousands of Syrians out there. They've got horses and chariots. What do you mean that there's more of us than there is of them? But then look at what Elisha does next. He prays something we all need to remember to do when we're facing these enemies. He prays verse 17, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I imagine the servant had a different look of shock on his face now. An army of horses and chariots of fire, not a normal army. If you think back to Exodus a few weeks ago, or even a few months ago probably for this passage, it was God leading his children with a pillar of fire. And so when we see an army of horses and chariots of fire here, we're supposed to be thinking, this is God. This is God's presence with his people. But the servant hadn't seen that. He hadn't seen that. He hadn't realized what was there. Sorry, I've got my pages the wrong way around. He hadn't seen what was there. He hadn't seen God's protection and comfort all along. One commentator, when talking about this, says, our fears prevail when we don't see the unseen. Think back to that boy I told you about at the start. He was scared the entire night because he didn't know that his father was there. And so often when we come to these battles that we're facing, the problem is we don't realize God is with us. We feel helpless and alone, but can I encourage you? If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you're not alone. God is with us. Later on in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God gives this promise. He says, I will never leave you. Okay, I want everyone to hold out their hand, all five digits. Boys and girls, hold out your hand. I want you to say that verse with me on each finger. It helps you remember it. God says, I will never leave you. You can even put in your own name there, so I'm going to say Adam. I will never leave Adam. Okay, try and remember that throughout the rest of the day. Adults too, remember that as well. Use that. Memorize that verse. Even in other parts of the Bible, Jesus, at the end of Matthew's gospel, he's talking to his disciples and he says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The problem for us is never that we're on our own. The problem is we don't realize we're not on our own. When we read through the Psalms, we see wonderful phrases to describe God. A fortress, a shelter, a rock, a stronghold, a high tower, a shepherd. God is with us and protects us so that, like Elisha here in verse 16, we can boldly say, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I was talking to one of my flatmates recently, and he remarked that I seem to really enjoy reading biographies, and I do. I think it's really interesting reading through stories of people's lives, especially Christian missionaries, because some of the stories are just amazing. And my favourite one is about a guy. He's a Scottish guy called John Patton. And he was a missionary who went to some islands north of New Zealand, quite a bit away from Scotland. And the islands were filled with cannibals, people who wanted to eat him. And there were many times, as I was reading that biography, that I saw him having to go in the middle of the night across the island, trying to sneak through undergrowth, going through a jungle. And it would have been terrifying. He wouldn't have been able to see anything, and he knew there was people out there on the island who would have wanted to kill him. But he kept going, and he trusted God, knowing God was with him. And after a few years, he saw whole islands of cannibals repent and turn to God. Friends, let's pray for faith like that, to know that God is with us, to be able to say there are more for us than there is for them. So that's the first thing. God opens our eyes to his protection, but we see a lot more going on here as well. He also blinds the eyes of those who reject him. He blinds those who have prideful hearts, who refuse to submit to God. Look at the Syrians down here. They've been foiled every time. Every time they've had a plan, it never works out. I'm going to guess probably a lot of you at some stage have played hide and seek. Imagine that you're the hider, and every time you go to hide, no matter how good a spot it is, somehow you're always found straight away. That's what's happened to the Syrians. Every time they go to attack, they're found. That's what it was for the king of Aram. Sorry, a different translation says the word Syrian. But I'm talking about the king of Aram here as well. But every time they've been found, the king, he refuses to accept defeat. They keep going out, and after they've realized the problems, Elisha, they don't give up. Their prideful hearts refuse to submit to God. And so they've come to Elisha, and we see them charging down the hill towards him. Proud and blind hearts, refusing to submit to God, wanting to be ruler of their lives and wanting to rule over everyone around them. What happens? Their eyes become the same as their hearts. Blind hearts led to blind eyes. They charge down, and Elisha prays, strike them with blindness. Now, they weren't actually blind. They could still see, they could still walk. But the things they were seeing, they didn't understand them. They were seeing but not perceiving, seeing but not understanding. Okay, now let's pause just for a moment and let's think about the servant here again. I'm sure as the sirens were charging down, his heart would have been pumping. The noise of thousands of men coming towards him, the ground was probably shaking, and then suddenly they were stopped in their tracks, blind and being led away by Elisha. If we said earlier that those who are for us are more than those who are for them, we can say, just like it says in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? That is such an amazing comfort for us to know. Look, if you've got a Bible, turn with me just over to Romans chapter 8, just for a moment. In this chapter, Paul is talking about the love of God and that nothing can separate us from that. He goes through this massive list. He says, who can separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from God. If you're here, if you're listening today and you're saved, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not now, not for all eternity to come. But if you're not a Christian, then you're living your life just like the Syrians. So let's look back here and let's see what happens to them. See in verse 19 here, they're led away by Elisha, and they don't know that they're going the wrong way. And he leads them into the city, into the heart of Samaria, where there would be thousands of Israelites, where the king of Israel actually was at that time. And they were completely unprepared and unawares, completely surrounded by their enemies. Imagine that, will you? You're off at war, you're thinking, this is going to be an easy fight. Israel is no match for us. Yet they had no idea where they were going. They walked confidently and pridefully into a complete trap. Well, friends, if you're not a Christian here today, that is what you are doing. You might be thinking, well, I don't feel as though I'm really strong. I don't feel as though I'm prideful. But actually, if you're living today without Christ, then you're living against God. We see in this passage, there's only two sides. Those who are on God's side and those who are on his enemies. You're either for God or you're against God. Maybe you're sitting here and thinking, well, I understand that and that all sounds good, but I don't want to become a Christian yet. I want to wait till I'm older or till things are easier or after coronavirus. But we've seen here that God is willing to blind people. People who refuse to submit to him, often God blinds them. They say, God, I don't want to do anything with you. I want to do these other things. Well, God actually often gives people over to their desires. And that's a terrifying thing because we all want terrible things. Our desires are all tainted with sin. So examine your heart today, friends. Ask a simple question. Who is king in your life? Are you the king? Just like the king of Aram, wanting everything your own way, not wanting to be told you can or can't do something? Or are you worshiping the one true king, looking to him, just like Elisha, just like the servant, for your daily protection? As you think about that, may I encourage you, think on Christ. As we finish just for a few minutes with our last point, God offers to open blind eyes. If you still got your Bible open, look down at verse 21. They've been led into Samaria, they're surrounded, but then their eyes are opened and their enemies are all around them. The king of Israel comes and asks, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? He sounds very excited. Lots of us would have said, yeah, these are our enemies. Look at all the tough, bad things that they've done to us. Strike them down. Elisha says, no. No, you wouldn't do this with men who've surrendered, prisoners of war. No. He offers them food and drink and sends them on their way. Do you see what's happened here? Instead of death, they were given a meal. Instead of judgment, they received grace. Friends, each and every one of us was like those soldiers, deserving judgment. But Christ offers to give us grace. And Christ has promised us not just bread and water, but an amazing feast in heaven. But it is for those who come to him, who are willing to be humbled, willing to submit to God. So if you're not willing to submit to Christ, then ask yourself why. He offers you mercy far beyond what you deserve. Think about that. And as we close, may I encourage all of you to take a few things into this next week. Look at the power of prayer here. It was by prayer that eyes were opened in this passage. We're not going to pray for eyes to be blinded. That's not what we want to see. We're going to pray for eyes to be opened. We've been talking a lot the past couple of weeks about going out this Christmas to invite people. Invite people to come in and to watch the carol service. Or even just going and talking to our neighbours, building friendships and relationships. And that can be scary. So can I encourage you, memorise verse 16 and pray through it this week when you're feeling terrified. Those who are for us are more than those who are for them. God is with us. You do not need to be afraid. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. So go into this week praying for God to open blind eyes as only he can, remembering that it is by grace and mercy that you can do so.